This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Our first guest is Dr. Christy Kane. She's a licensed mental health counselor who practices in Utah County and in Salt Lake. Dr. Kane works with adults and teenagers, offering an interactive workshop regarding how the electronic world we live in creates addiction and affects the neurological development of the human brain. She gives evidence-based research on brain functioning, how electronics impact neurotransmitters in the brain, and how to mitigate the effects of electronic addiction. She'll be at the Jim Santee Auditorium of the Park City Library on Monday, December 10th, I believe at 6 o'clock, and we're so happy that Dr. Kane could join us in the studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So one of the things I know about your talks is that you are always speaking to a full room, a packed room, with people pouring out into the hallways. So you must be saying something that we need to hear. I know you speak on a lot of topics, but this one about how electronics affect our brain. Tell us about it.
Well, it's relevant. Yeah. And I think all of us are realizing the side effects of electronics now. You know, I tell people that many times in our society, we do things without asking, are there going to be side effects, right? We used to give cigarettes to pregnant women, and they used to smoke cigarettes riding the Tour de France because they believed it was beneficial. And then the research came into place, and we realized that cigarettes weren't healthy for us. Electronics came in on the scene. We didn't ask ourselves, should we hand them to our teenagers unlimited? We didn't ask, should there be filters? We didn't ask at what age would be appropriate. And we didn't really educate our kids regarding the device that we handed them. And now, because of our fMRI imaging, we're beginning to see the neurological changes in our younger generations because of the electronic use. So now we're pulling back and saying we need balance. We need education, and we need to help parents understand what these electronics are doing to their kids' brain. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think I have packed audiences, because I'd love to say I'm phenomenal, but it's really because the topic is very, very beneficial for our parents to hear right now.
Mm. So it is so current, and I think that, you know, one of the big things here is that 10 years ago, I didn't have a smartphone. I didn't have a lot of electronics. We're on the edge, the leading, the forefront of all of this. And that's probably why we didn't ask the questions. But now we're being provided an opportunity to say, wait a minute, like you say, pull back and let's rediscover what we couldn't really know 10, 15, 20 years ago, because it just wasn't out there.
Well, exactly. And you know, we have the first group of kids that were born into the smartphone generation. This age of children have had a smartphone since the day they were born. And that's why we're seeing the impact. For example, the American Pediatrics Association recently issued warnings that children under the age of 2 should not have electronic devices. And the reason is they're seeing babies and little kids bonding to iPads and cell phones instead of to their parents. We have videos when we hand little kids those old-fashioned cardboard books. Instead of being able to turn the pages, they're pushing and swiping. Because they're used to being handed an electronic device. What we need to understand is the brain, like, you know, 50 years ago, we didn't believe in neuroplasticity. We pretty much believed that by the time you were an adult, your brain was frozen. We now know that the brain continues to evolve and develop, and it's more of a muscle than an organ, but it has to be given the right type of stimulation to proceed and do the growth that it's necessary. So when I talk about this electronic impact, I also help adults understand how it's impacting them. So for example, we no longer read the way we used to as a society. We no longer have the attention span that we used to. As a matter of fact, we have what's called fractured attention span because people are looking at 5 or 6 websites at the same time, or their cell phone and their computer at the same time. We can see that we're doing an overload of dopamine in our brain because the average time frame that teenagers spend on their electronics is 6.5 hours a day. That's straight. But if you look at Pew Research, they're indicating it's 12 hours a day accumulative, our kids. And that's a dopamine world. That means that's the same chemical that cocaine and methamphetamines play with. So all day long, every 13 seconds on average, our kids are changing their screen and getting hit with dopamine, which is neurologically changing the brain. And so that's impacting why we see teenage suicide is the second leading cause of death. The number one health issue for our young people is anxiety and depression. And the number one health issue for adults is major depressive disorder.
Dr. Ken, I was just going to ask you, how do we know about these neurological changes and whether these changes that we can now see are happening are going to be good or bad? And you just answered that with, because look at the results. We've got anxiety off the charts. We've got suicide off the charts. That can't be a good outcome. And I mean, I think we all look at that and agree. But there could be something that's happening here that's kind of an evolutionary thing. I hear that sometimes. You know, this is just the next iteration in human overall evolution and the development of the brain, and we could be going into places that we've never been, and that shows up in ways that we don't expect. And I'm
Well, the problem we have with that argument is the brain actually isn't an evolutionary part of our body. As a matter of fact, research indicates our brain is very, very old and very, very slow to go through the evolutionary process. And so although computers are made it to the 20th century, for lack of a better argument, our brain's still 100 years old. And so, yes, we adapt as humans, but when we neurologically overstimulate a muscle organ that's very old, instead of being able to compensate for the overstimulation, it begins to crash. And so that's why we're seeing this. You know, I've looked at all the research in the brain process, and there's lots of people that want to argue that gaming and social media is beneficial. And yet, really, the only research coming out is hand-eye coordination in video gaming. But all the rest of the research, the increase of depression because young women are getting their identity out of social media, the aggressive hedonism because of the video gaming, it's all on a negative, and because it plays with the neurotransmitter dopamine. Now, dopamine isn't bad. Dopamine is something we're meant to have as humans, but are we supposed to have a shot of dopamine every 13 seconds for 12 hours a day?
Yeah, and I was going to ask you
about that. And that's the conflict.
Because there's research and that shows that every time your phone pings or, you know, you get a notification, whatever notification that is, it triggers the dopamine response in the brain. And when children used to play with Fisher-Price toys, remember those? Fisher-Price toys?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I remember when Fisher-Price started to go a little bit electronic, but it used to be blocks and books, you know, when my kids were playing with them. And then they started digitizing some of that stuff and making them a little more electronic, and you could sort of see Fisher-Price going in that direction. But boy, you know, there was a time when the dopamine probably rarely got triggered. So I look at these devices and I say they were meant to be tools, and yet we've morphed them into entertainment and to something that is much more than a tool. It's a lifestyle. And that's where this overstimulation comes. Because if you use it just as a tool, you can turn off your notifications. You can check your emails once a day. I mean, we hear this is how you should be using a tool, not scanning and checking all the time and getting triggered.
Yeah, it's about balance. Very much so. And if you look at the research, for example, I love your example of the old-fashioned block toys. So neurologically, one of my colleagues put taxi drivers who drove taxis in London in fMRI machines. Now, to be a taxi driver in London, you have to memorize the map of London.
Right.
So you have to have really good spatial skills. And it's interesting, her research indicates that the part of their brain that does spatial recognition is larger. We did the same thing with people who read Braille, tactile activity, that are blind. And the part of their brain that is involved in that hand connection to the brain is larger. And so anytime we do constructive, long-term activities, we create what's called neurological growth patterns. You see, in the brain, there's short-term memory, there's long-term memory, and then there's functional processing. Your brainstem, which is called the reptilian brain, is your functional processing. Your long-term structural connections is when you build what we call muscle memory, when you build long-term neurological connections like reading Spanish and speaking Spanish, or when a baby learns to talk. That's a constructive neurological growth pattern. But all your electronics play in the short-term memory of dopamine. And so it goes in and out. Like I ask my audiences all the time, tell me the last time you memorized a phone number. And
right.
You'd be appalled.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll say, so if I ask you your child's phone number, where do you go to get it? They go to their cell phone, right? But if I ask them to give me their great-grandmother's phone number, their home phone number, what do? They tell it to me. Yes. we no longer memorize. That's constructive neurological growth. And so that's where we're disrupting the patterns. And that's why we see the developmental delay in teenagers' brains. Because my generation, your generation, was hide and seek, play the violin, read a book, be outside in nature. There's huge research on the benefits of nature in constructive neurological growth. But our kids are all in the short-term memory process. And so they're delayed in that.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Dr. Christy Kane. She'll be speaking Monday, December 10th, that's this coming Monday, at 6 p.m. at the Jim Santee Auditorium of the Park City Library. She'll be talking about the impacts of electronics on the human brain, and I bet you'll be giving us some tips and some pointers for achieving that balance. I mean, I think of Dr. Kane, kids on road trips, and how wonderful the iPad, you know, to keep them busy. And yet, what about the I Spy with my little eye game or the license plate game that we all used to play growing up? So talk about that balance. Maybe using that as an example. We've got just a few minutes left.
No, that's a great example. What I tell parents is do an observation first in the process to create your balance plan. So don't listen to my lecture or listen to this radio program and go home and throw all the electronics away, okay? Because then you're going to end up putting kids in suicide ideation. The first step is to observe the electronic use in the family. What do you see? How often are your kids on electronics and what are they using them for? Once you've gone through that observation, then choose an unplug time. You know, this fractured attention span is very dangerous for us. We're meant to multitask, but not to the extreme level we do. And I ask people, what's the first thing you look at when you wake up in the morning? Your cell phone. What is it that you plug in at night when you go to bed? Your cell phone. What's with you 24 hours a day? Your cell phone. Start choosing a central area in which to place electronic devices so that they don't come on till 10 and they go off at 8. You know, parents think their kids have gone to bed. Kids are in their rooms on their cell phones. We have the most sleep-deprived young people of all time because they're up till 2 or 3 in the morning. Play board games. Increase, and this is the most critical factor. We need to go back to an oxytocin generation. These kids are the most social, antisocial generation of all time. You watch them at McDonald's in a circle, texting each other, not talking to each other. We have to infuse oxytocin. So I tell families 8 hugs a day for 8 seconds. That is critical to the bonding chemical and balance of us. We need to look at our serotonin levels, which is based on what we eat. So make sure your kids are getting sufficient serotonin because that neurotransmitter stabilizes mood. But board games, time as a family, go on nature walks. You know, I bring this up and parents say, well, the first thing when I tell my kids we're going camping, they say, is there Wi-Fi? And I jokingly say, we ask if there was an outhouse. Yeah. You know, so look at the generational change. Every day, there should be time without electronics. And I'm not going to tell you how long that should be. And every day, there should be human touch, actual physical human touch. And that stabilizes the oxytocin against the dopamine. And then we need to eat healthy and be active. I mean, research shows exercise is beneficial for the brain. And get this, the American Pediatrics just came out with another research that indicates per hour in electronic use increases the obesity spectrum. Direct correlation, which is very frightening. We have more issues with obesity now than we've ever had before. We have more issues with ADD and ADHD than we've ever had before because we're not connecting, we're not touching, and we're not unplugging. So it's really simple. Like, I'm not one of these doom and gloom and everything's going bad. We're not that far off. Just hold your kids. Have a good media plan and unplug and play a board game and go outside and go skiing and do all those kind of things. It's really not complicated. It's right. What my great-grandmother did. We need to do it today.
That's right. Nothing like a little game of Monopoly. I was thinking about, I have a young friend, a 20-something-year-old, who was lamenting to me that when he is in a social setting and he's by himself, say you're at a party, you immediately begin checking your phone because it doesn't force you into that uncomfortable feeling that we all get when we're in, you know, these social interactions. And he was saying, well, I'm going to challenge myself to keep the phone in the pocket, not pretend like I need to check it. Like, you know, you really need to check your emails or texts at a party. And you know, you put your eyes up into the crowd and
engage,
you know,
people.
Engage, have some eye contact. And yet it is it's a scary thing. But you know, there's that mantra, do something you fear every day and it'll do you well.
Yeah.
So again, the talk is this coming Monday, December 10th, 6 p.m. at the Jim Santee Auditorium here at the Park City Library. It's a two-hour segment. I suppose a lot of that is going to be dedicated to Q&A.
Yes, yes. Yep, there'll be about an hour presentation, and then I'll open up for question and answers.
Okay. And how many other times have you been in the community here?
This will be my first time in the Park City area.
Well,
so
that's
I've been
great.
Throughout Utah, but this will be my first time here.
And I want to say that sitting here silently with us also is Dr. Kathy Osler, who's with Summit Pediatrics under the larger Wasatch Pediatrics. She's been a longtime local pediatrician, and it was Kathy, along with the Communities That Care, Mary Krista Smith, and Summit County Health Department, that is all banding together to bring you here. And so that's nice to see that there were several organizations that were really trying to get you up here to speak. So it is a special evening. And Kathy, we have just a moment. Dr. Osler, do you want to add anything to what has already been said?
Yes, thanks so much. I really appreciate the time to share this information on the radio. And I really appreciate that you're coming up, Dr. Kane, to speak. When I first heard this talk down in Salt Lake City at our administration building, Liz Wall, our parent partner, and I looked at each other and said, we absolutely have to have her up here in Park City. It's vital. And it's something that I spend so much time talking about every single day. So I'm just, as I listen to you speak, I'm just soaking it in and thinking, how am I going to get this out to all my patients? And so I thank you for coming.
Well, thank you.
Well, here's the good news. Over Thanksgiving, I was beaten in a game of Monopoly by a 9-year-old. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom, like you said.
There's hope for the future.
And I've heard more stories about that Monopoly game than I've heard
about GGS.
Yeah, or about your emails or texts or anything. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's Dr. Christy Kane. She works both in Utah County and the Salt Lake Valley, and we're so pleased that she could come up to Park City. We'll have to get you up here more often.
Sounds good. Happy to come. Thank you.
Thank you. And stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.